This is Who Kicked the Corner Flag, an English soccer game show podcast.
It's with Kevin De Bruyne, who sets up a shot and scores. And now it's with Harry Kane, and it's another chance to make it three, and he doesn't miss this time.
That's Coutinho for Salah. Oh, that's brilliant. Mo Salah's header from Coutinho's excellent cross.
And here's your host, James Rose.
Hello and welcome to our 24th episode of the season and our second North London Derby special. Once again, we've got another exciting show for you today, so let's get to it and introduce our guests. To my lily-white left, he's our resident guest of the podcast and leader of the KC Spurs, the man who's ready to bring Moussa Dembélé back to Tottenham, and is slightly tickled by the home stadium news, missing Wembley already perhaps. It's Gerard Bustamante. How are you, bud?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Very excited to talk about this, and Arsenal sucks.
He's already getting fired up. Joining him on Team Spurs, we're pleased to welcome back for his third appearance, the writer and blogger of the Tottenham Hotspur World News Outlet, which of course covers all things Spurs. Please welcome back Mr. Will Rivard. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good, I guess, for a Monday. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm just dandy. I think we're all pretty good. We're pretty good. And to the right in red, we're delighted to welcome on for his first North London Derby special, the chairman of the KC Gooners, the man who is still waiting for the FA Offside Rules Commissioner to return his calls, and who bought a fresh pair of boots for Mr. Aubameyang. Hope they fit. It's Boyce Richardson. How are you?
You know, just like Gerard Bustamante, Tottenham Hotspur with the least points against the top six this year.
Whew, this is going to be a good one, guys. There's going to be no editing whatsoever. Fireworks go. And
Should
joining
get my
him
car
to make
go
team...
to Boyce's house.
Just don't use Hugo Lloris.
Oh my gosh. Joining him to make Team Arsenal, we're glad to welcome back the co-host of the Lads podcast, the man still teaching Wenger how to zip up his jacket, and who's now mastering the reflexes of Bernd Leno. From sunny Philadelphia, it's Kevin Pitet. Welcome back, bud.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And it is always sunny here, even though there's a foot of snow. But thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
A foot of snow? Damn, God. I think we're all feeling it, aren't we? Are we all from the Midwest getting all this snow?
It needs to end. It needs to end.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, my God. Boyce and I agree on something this early in the pod?
Somebody call VAR.
Oh, my God. God, we'll get that out of the way. Now it's now to the differences. Now, since this is our second North London Derby special, the games are similar, but once again, with a red and white twist. For our first game today, we're going to revisit question of the match, but specific moments from this North London Derby will be questioned. So each person will get to pick one topic, answer a question statistically on that, and then we'll lead into, hopefully, a healthy discussion about said topic. 2 points per correct guess, and here are the topics from the game. The Kane equaliser. Torreira sees red, but Danny doesn't. Ramsey's running goal. And Aubameyang's winning miss. So, Kevin, you're going to get to go first from Team Arsenal. Go ahead and pick a category for us, bud.
We can start off with the Kane equaliser. That's fine.
That's a good one to start with. Yeah, the moment where Kane equalised and the decision for it to be a penalty was certainly the one in question. But let me throw you the quiz question, Kevin. First of all, how many goals has Kane now scored in a North London derby? Is it 8, 9 or 12?
I'm going to say 9.
It is 9. Yeah, nice work, bud. Good work.
9, 9, 9, 9. It would be a German who would cause the penalty, so there you go.
I hate Skodran Mustafi.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. It's already started. Kevin, go ahead and lead us off. Was it a good call for a penalty?
I'm on the side where I'm just like, Mustafi has to be better. I mean, the guy is just a klutz in the box, and he's been nothing but just horrible. I think it was Mr. Petit. Former gunner, famous gunner, you know, my dad, who came out and said that, like, this guy is just horrible. He's just, and we've been saying how terrible he is at giving away. And yes, it was offside, but you got to let Kane play that ball. And to me, I just think it was just horrible, horrible defending on his end. So, I mean, I'm not even mad at the call. I'm more mad at Mustafi at the end of the day.
Interesting. Boyce, what do you think on that whole situation? Was it an offside first? Was it a foul first? What are you thinking on that?
Well, I mean, I think unquestionably it's an offside first. In almost every single iteration of that play, if the player is leading, there were like 5 Spurs ahead of the Arsenal line. You could have called offside all over the place, and yet somehow they missed it. But, you know, to echo Kevin's point, I think it's one of those situations where Mustafi is terrible. And Koscielny and Socrates had Kane pretty well managed throughout the entirety of the match. He didn't do much damage during the run of play. And instead, Mousavi barrels out of nowhere and runs into a guy who's not even the person he's assigned to defend on the set piece and mows him over. I just, you know, at the time it was really frustrating because you look at it and it's really easy to just say that he kind of just barges into him and Kane goes down. But Kane will always go down and Mustafi will always barge into him. Time is a flat circle as far as that's concerned. So
yes,
what are you going to do? You know, we bought Shkodran Mustafi for £35 million and we'll sell him. If we get seven figures for that moron, I will be fleecing somebody. I don't even know who would be dumb enough to buy him. But at this point, all he needed to do in that instance was do no harm. And instead, my favorite thing is the Jungle Book meme, where it's like Arsenal reaching out for a clean sheet across an open door, and then Louis in the form of Mustafi bursts through the door and ruins everything. And it's just like, what do you do? I mean, you know, it's the second offside goal Spurs have scored against Arsenal this year. The official screwed up, but, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more later. It's not like Arsenal didn't have their chances, and, I'm still not over how dumb that was from Mustafi when it's just totally unnecessary. Kane was not scoring during that run of play.
Will, over to you. What are your thoughts on that that moment that led to the decision? Was it a bad call? Was it a fair call? What do we think?
Well, I mean, as far as it being a penalty, you know, what you guys have echoed, if you push Harry Kane, Mo Salah, if you push any decent striker when they're in the box like that, they're going to go down. So, I mean, as far as it being a penalty from that standpoint, I mean, I think that's – you can argue it whatever way you want to. But so my question for the Arsenal guys is, what was he doing out there playing fullback to begin with? Like, Maitland-Niles was on the bench.
Well,
was he out there at all?
I think the reality of that is the fact that Lichtsteiner was hurt. Maitland-Niles hasn't played a match in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. He's been down with illness, and he's been shown to be a little bit of a liability. But to your point, Maitland-Niles isn't going to bowl somebody over in the box. The issue is that I actually didn't think Mustafi was terrible for the rest of the match. It just, when you screw up at that level, it's much more noticeable, which is why he has to go.
Jared, your thoughts on this?
Am I the only one here that reads the freaking rules? It's a penalty. It's a foul.
Ooh, here we go.
The FA rules reveal a player in an offside position moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball. The foul is penalized and it has occurred before the offside offense. I understand I get it if you're an Arsenal supporter. If I were on the other side of it, I'm like, no, it's crap. They're offside. None of the rest of it counts. I'm with you. I see that. Unfortunately, that's not the rule. And I think if you want to argue with how this rule is enforced, if it's not enforced consistently, then okay, that's a separate conversation. But the point of the fact is, it's a penalty. And
so can I ask Jared a question really
quick? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
So in all honesty, do you think that that is the reason that that call was made on the pitch?
You're asking whether or not
do you believe that
whether or not Anthony Taylor was aware he was offside and then let it play out and then they fouled Kane?
No, I mean, Anthony Taylor aside, that the sideline official who was out of position, do you think he knew that they were offside and then thought to himself, I'm going to apply the rule here? Or do you think he just did not see that they were offside?
Well, then it's a moot point now, isn't it? I mean, here's the thing. You're such a proponent of VAR, right, boys? So what you're saying is,
VAR overturns that call.
No, it doesn't.
I bet it doesn't.
Under the law, that's my entire point, is that with the rules of the FA, it does not, because even if they determine that he's offside, the law says you play it out and he fouled him as he was moving towards the ball. Does it make sense? I don't know. Did I know this rule before 3 days ago? But here's the thing.
I mean, that's a tacit admission right there.
That's where it is. That's the rule. So if you want to argue whether or not it's consistently applied, well, okay, then you have my attention. But don't tell me that's not a penalty, because it is.
What is interesting is that I, you know, after the game, I found all these reports that came with what you're exactly saying, Jared, is that the rule states, apparently, that, you know, the offside call doesn't count when there has been a foul played. But to me, I've seen situations in many games where a similar incident has happened, and it's been up, that's offside, nothing else from this point forward matters. So why now are we suddenly hearing about this rule when it doesn't seem to have mattered in any other game that I've certainly come across? Why is it only coming to fruition now?
Oh, well, it's clearly Derby, just a baby. Global conspiracy against Arsenal, obviously.
Right. Because, you know, Anthony Taylor screwed up and they're CYAing. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They're CYAing by amending the laws of the game. Gotcha.
Cool. The side official missed that call. He just missed it.
I don't know. And my point is that it doesn't matter. I get your frustration, but my point is that it doesn't matter.
Interesting. Well, let's move on. I mean, that was awesome. As a little taster for how the rest of this is going to go. Jared, you're up next with three topics left to pick. We've got Torreira sees red, but Danny doesn't. Ramsey's running goal and Aubameyang's winning miss. So which one would you like to talk about?
Let's talk about Torreira and Danny, because I like the nuance here.
Interesting. Well, your quiz question to lead this off. In what year did Arsenal last receive a North London Derby red card? Was it 2016, 2015, or 2012? What year was it?
Do I get bonus points for telling you who it was?
I already know you know the answer, so no. What do you think, Jared?
God, 2015.
Oh, no, it was 2016, slightly more recent. And who was it, boys?
Francis Coquelin.
Yes, it was.
Of course it was.
That was the match. I think we were winning 1-0, and he got the red card on the sideline.
That sounds right, actually, yeah.
For no reason at all. It was Mustafi-esque.
Oh, I knew it was recent. I knew it wasn't 2012. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now that boy says that, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, but now reverting back to more specifically Torreira, was that a justified red card for you, Jared?
Of course it was. Oh my goodness. And here's the thing. You know, your question kind of sets the stage for the argument, right? So the notion that if Danny Rose coming in and coming into goal with a high boot, is basically the same thing to coming in. I see that argument, but if you look at them both, I mean, they cannot be measured against each other, right? I mean, you look at Torreira hits it right in front of Anthony Taylor. I mean, the ball goes basically across Anthony Taylor's face. And then Torreira turns and just going up, just studs up. I mean, that's 10 out of 10. That is a red card. So I think the only controversy here is whether or not, well, first of all, whether or not Granit Xhaka should have gotten a card for coming in behind on Harry Kane early in the match. The fact that that wasn't more talked about is shocking to me. And
because it was a yellow.
He's coming in behind and he hits him. I mean, you're tackling him. I don't know. You can make the argument.
Wah, wah.
But if you're talking about, you know, Danny coming into goal, I don't know. I really think, how many times have you seen strikers who have just gone and crashed into a keeper, or, you know, coming in trying to, you know, go into goal? I think you see it less often. I think we're again in a situation of where, is the rule consistently applied? Is it a foul anywhere in the pitch? Then it should be a foul specifically in the box. I think this is where we get into unwritten law territory.
Sure.
Is Danny going for the ball? Yeah, but again, like I said, I see the other side. I see the frustration here, mainly because Leno's acting is so bad that he didn't, you know, sell it hard enough. But I see it. I think it was inevitably the right call. I think, you know, everyone gets kind of a little more leeway on the attacking end than the box. And I think it was the correct decision.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, from the other side, what do we think?
Besides, like, my Sunday beer league, yeah, that's a red card. I got to say, like, even, like, when I wake up, you know, hungover in the morning on a Sunday, I don't think the boys will let that go. And, you know, Torreira, like, it was a lot of frustration there, and you can just see it. I also saw a report afterwards that Poch actually, like, pulled off Torreira or tried, because I think Torreira was trying to go to the ref afterwards and, like, chirp into his ear or something. So shout out to you guys, Poch, good guy Poch, trying to help my boy out. but you know, I think that's a red card every given Sunday. Great movie. But yeah, That's my take.
That's a red. And
Poch got a few in his day, so I can see that.
Yeah.
All right, boys, over to you. What do you think?
I definitely think it was a red in the end, but I also think that Danny Rose went studs up into Leno's chest. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if that's going to be the level at which you're going to analyze this, he's going for the ball, sure, but he puts his studs in Leno's chest. Like, I don't understand what the distinction is here. I understand that he's on the offensive end. I understand all that other stuff. He's got to go for the ball. That's fine. But, you know, to make a really terrible comparison, if that's quarterbacks and goalkeepers are kind of similarly protected, or at least I thought they were. And if that happened in the NFL, it's an ejection, right? I think in the context of this particular match, Anthony Taylor didn't want to send anybody off until the 95th minute, which that is what it is. But it's an unfortunate situation where I think that Danny Rose deserved to go off equally as much as Torreira did, because the level of damage that you could potentially do by taking metal studs to somebody's chest at full blast, I mean, if that's not a red card on a keeper, what is?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Will, what do you think?
So it's funny you talk about that, Boyce. I actually played goalkeeper all the way up until my sophomore year of college and actually had someone hit me right in the chest on a very similar situation. It was Sunday Beer League. It was some guy that probably smoked a pack of cigarettes before the game. So, I mean, we roasted him. But
nice.
But, yeah, I see both sides of the argument for that. I do think Anthony Taylor, his keeping the cards in the pocket in the first half, really set the tone for this whole match, because you could have given Xhaka a yellow card in the first half. You probably could have given Sissoko one in the first half as well, because he was hauling some people down. And so when you just decide to eat the cards and not do that, you know, and not discipline the players, you kind of set the tone for the match.
Sure.
In my opinion, the other thing, the tunnel thing, you know, at least that wasn't a Jesus Perez out there talking to Torreira. He might have had a little more. he might have not been calming him down. He might have been actually having a go at him. So at least it was Poch, not him,
getting him more fired up, so to speak. Yeah,
because we saw what Perez wanted to do to Mike Dean. So, you know,
yeah, indeed.
If only he had.
I know.
You wouldn't have been in the stadium, that's for sure. Let's move on.
We're out of coach.
Yeah, that too. Will, go ahead and pick from our last two topics. We have Ramsey's running goal and Aubameyang's winning miss. Go ahead and pick one for us.
Let's go with the winning miss.
The winning miss. Why not? Here's the quiz question. Of his last five penalties against any side, how many has Aubameyang now missed? Is it one, two, or three?
Ooh.
Of his last
five. I'm going to go with
yep.
I'm going to go with two.
It is two. Nice work, bud. Yeah, two of the last five he's now missed. The last one was against City on the 1st of March 2018. So there's a fun little stat for you. First of all, I want to lead in with this about whether or not it should have been a penalty. So we'll go ahead and jump in and give us your thoughts on that.
So I think that was a weak call. Mm-hmm. If you look at the replay and all that, if Sanchez touched him, he barely touched him. But the one thing I'll say about Sanchez in this match is he put himself in some bad situations throughout the match. You know, the Aaron Ramsey goal, that's unavoidable. I know he's in a tough spot trying to play that ball down with his head, but when you head it straight into the ground and Lacazette picks it up, you know, he just played it right to Ramsey. So I do think Sanchez, he did not have his finest match, definitely. So I can see an argument for that, but I think that's a really soft penalty call, mm-hmm. if I'm being totally honest. But maybe, I don't know if, you know, we joke about with NBA refs and stuff, there's something called a makeup call. And so I don't know if he thought he made a bad call in the Kane call and he's going to give Arsenal that penalty, you know, but it's soft penalty in my book.
Okay. Jared, what do you think?
Oh, of course it's not a penalty. Oh, my God. Well, I love you, man. You know, you're so judicious and all of that. No, of course not. And I got to say, my proposal of putting officials on the end line instead of VAR would have caught this beautifully. No contact at all. You even see the guy look back and he's making sure. I mean, no, it's not. I've said on the podcast time and time again, I was a striker, I was an attacker, and I perhaps went down easier than I intend. And in fact, Boyce has seen me do this one time in particular.
Still does.
In our indoor league. and it, you know, that guy deserved it. So it is part of the game. I'm actually pretty tolerant of it, but I will call it out. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, we say this time and time again with Mo Salah, and the obvious hypocrisy with me saying this with with Dele Alli on my squad. So, hey, understand the reality of it, but if we're looking at it, no, of course not. Mm. And I think an official on the end line sees that lack of contact, and then it's a no call. However, I'm just going to try to inoculate this. No, Boyce is chomping at the bit to talk about Jan Vertonghen being a little overzealous coming into the box. again, I feel like I'm already sensing a theme here to the podcast. It's like, how often is that rule enforced, right? I've seen them called back, you know, for that, for people entering into the box, and that's perfectly legitimate. And it's really hard to refute the obvious physical evidence that Jan Vertonghen was, I mean, good God, he was almost in Aubameyang's ear by the time he took the penalty. good grief. But Aubameyang, you're a pro. Got to be a better effort. Like I said, I won't take nothing away from Hugo Lloris for a penalty save. But you look at that. I mean, he was able to sit, wait, and then go not too far to his right and parry it away. And then with a sliding Jan Vertonghen with a 5-yard head start, clears it out. Yeah. Again, I completely see just the frustration. And it would be compounded because you didn't really see that Jan Vertonghen was that far into the box in the live broadcast. Only to see it afterwards, be an Arsenal fan, just lose your mind. I get it. I do. I chuckle because we're on the right side of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it might just kind of be it's a nice little microcosm for this match. Point well learned, both sides, arguments of what the hell is going on and why was it called that way. And it all kind of came out in the wash. Mm-hmm. But yes, penalty, poor take, but Spurs definitely benefited from a couple of non-calls. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, was it a good save from Lloris or a bad penalty from Aubameyang?
No. Well, the first off, it was definitely not a penalty, but do I care? Absolutely not.
At least we admit it.
Yeah, like, no, like, that was the softest thing I've ever seen next to his penalty. No, he went up there daydreaming, and he's a wet sandwich. That's what he is. He literally hit it like a wet sandwich. It was one of the softest things I've ever seen, and it looked like he wasn't even there. I don't even care that it wasn't a penalty, because it wasn't, but, like, that's besides the point. It's just, you know, you got to do better. I don't know why we spent all this money for you to be the next, like, all-time striker when we already got a guy we spent a lot of money on, Lacazette. What you have to make that. This is why we got you. Mm-hmm. And, again, I don't care about Vertonghen either. Like, if he can get away with it, get away with it. You're going to take the advantages, like a Aubameyang took the advantage to fall down like there was a sack of potatoes on his back. You're going to take whatever advantages you can take. So,
love it.
And Hugo hasn't even been in that great a form, no offense, so of course you should take advantage of that, and you just, like, you gifted it to him, so. Mm-hmm.
All right, Boyce, what do
I
you
know,
think?
He's got Kieran Trippier scoring on him.
I mean, yeah, I'm just going to echo what everybody else said. It's never a PK. It was 100% a makeup call, unquestionably a makeup call, because he knew that he screwed it up earlier, and the reality was, not only has Hugo Lloris not been in the best form this year, he's one of the shortest keepers in the entire league. Send that thing towards one of the low corners and go in. I mean, you know, it's frustrating because I honestly thought, and I think it's hard to argue otherwise, that Arsenal were the better team on the day and probably more deserving of the 3 points. And Anthony Taylor, despite having a mare of a match, gifted it to them with an opportunity to be able to score with, I think, like a minute left on the clock. And Aubameyang was terrible. And I also join in the fact that, you know what, the Jan Vertonghen thing's fun, it's memeable, it's another stupid thing that Anthony Taylor got wrong. But you got to make it, right? Like, Spurs have had 2 penalty kicks against Arsenal this year. I argued that neither of them were legitimate. One of them was a pure dive. The other one I still think was offside, irrespective of that. Harry Kane gets up and dispatches them. I can say all the things in the world about how much I hate that guy and how much of a nonce he is, but Harry Kane would not have missed that penalty kick, and Aubameyang did. And I think we were talking about this pre-pod a little bit earlier. If Spurs had dropped this match, their chances of top four take an absolute nosedive, and our chances, I think, suffered instead. And the reality is those 2 points are going to be severely missed, especially if Arsenal aren't able to grab all three against United on Sunday.
It will certainly be interesting. We'll have to see how that one pans out. But let's swiftly move on to the last topic, which is yours, Boyce. It's Ramsey's running goal. So your quiz question is, since 2011, how many goals has Ramsey netted in a North London derby? Is it 3, 5, or 7?
3?
It is 3, yeah. Nice work, bud. Good job. It is absolutely correct. It is 3. I thought it was actually more than that when I looked it up, but hey, I guess he's not as good as I thought he was. But anyway, question for you, Boyce. Ramsey, also, we know he's going to be on his way soon. Oh, my gosh. We know Ramsey's going to be on his way to Juventus here pretty soon. Is he going to be missed?
Oh, I think he's definitely going to be missed. I think one of the more interesting things about Arsenal's quote-unquote resurgence in the latter few matches has been the fact that Emery's kind of decided to pair Ramsey and Lacazette and Ozil and Aubameyang in the 4-2-3-1. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Ramsey really ended up in a situation where Ozil's £350,000 per week ended up being a deal I don't think Arsenal are overly satisfied with. They were looking at having to pay Ramsey somewhere in the Mkhitaryan category and thinking long-term about what his wages would look like. And I'm not necessarily sure this is true of all Arsenal fans, but I definitely think if I could switch and have Aaron Ramsey on £250,000 a week and Mesut Ozil kind of on his way, you know, Ozil has some breathtaking moments and he's produced some absolutely incredible play throughout his time with Arsenal. But I think Ramsey, not only will he be missed, he's going to be very difficult to replace. And with the budget that Arsenal are being handed over the summer, you know, with the tens of millions of pounds they're going to get for Skodran Mustafi, you know, you look at players on the wings, you look at players in the middle, almost a number 10 kind of role that Ramsey's occupied over the last year, and you start to wonder what those players are going to cost. And I understand not wanting to pay Aaron Ramsey that much money. You were going to spend, and probably will have to spend, somewhere between 40 and 50 million pounds in order to replace him with somebody who will probably end up being a far less known quantity. It'll be interesting. I think, you know, there were murmurings and frustrations in January and February when Arsenal dropped a few matches, but I really think that Emery's kind of exhibited over the last few matches, irrespective of the Bellerin injury, which I think still killed us. And speaking of Bellerin, he would not have barreled into Harry Kane in that situation either. that ACL tear really, really does hurt Arsenal's top four chances and Europa League chances. And yeah, I mean, in the end, I just think Emery's managed it really well. This Ramsey thing, I don't think is Emery related. It's purely the board, and he will most definitely be missed.
Kevin, would you agree?
Yeah, I'm a bit biased. I spent 6 months living in Wales. So for me, I love my Welsh boy. And I'm a bit mixed on Ramsey. I mean, if you look at his injury history, like when he's healthy, he's great. And he's been so, like, just clutch in the big games. I mean, you got to look back at the FA Cup game in 2014 against Hull, you know, when we got our first piece of silverware in 9 years. So for me, he's been great. But I mean, if you just look at his injury history, it doesn't really look that great. I mean, like, if I could keep him over Ozil, I definitely agree there with Boyce.
Jared, on that actual first goal of Arsenal's, could Spurs have somehow found a way to stop that?
You know, I disagree with Will a little bit there on, you know, saying that, you know, Sanchez kind of didn't have a choice. I think he did. A little bit of deliberation there. It's that weird in-between ball, and it's just a snapshot, right? And it's a great heads-up play. You know, Lacazette's there, gets his head up, and bam. And I think he even played the ball when Ramsey was still on, you know, the defensive half. So, if anything, you know, it's getting kind of caught on a break, caught out of position, I guess. And, you know, anybody watching is know that, you know, Spurs have, you know, they've had some defensive woes, you know, some organizational things and all of that. Was this necessary an example of that? I mean, on paper, yeah. But I think it is just, you know, Arsenal's a capable team, and you give them though that kind of you know, opportunity and break, and they will absolutely capitalize. And you know, hats off to Ramsey. That was a class finish. To have that, you know, you have people breathing down your neck. To, you know, to kind of have that little shift over around the goalie and then put it away. Hats off to him. And I'll be you know, happy to see him go off to Italy.
All right, Will. Any final comments?
So to kind of go with what Jared just said there, you know, it is a tough spot for Sanchez to be put in. And I think what's interesting, what Pochettino says in his book, is he wants these guys to be brave and always try to play the ball out of the back. And so I wonder sometimes if our defenders, instead of just taking that ball and smashing it back the other way or smashing it into the seats, he thought, maybe I'm going to take it down and see if I can do something with it and retain possession. So I wonder sometimes if our defenders, like, you know, Foyt does that sometimes and all that, instead of just blasting the ball, I wonder if they just think, hey, let me just see if I can retain possession and stuff like that. But but as far as that moment goes, that's one of those moments that happens in games. It's all about who gets, I don't want to call it luck, but because it wasn't a lucky goal, it was a good goal, but it's all about the bounces. You know, Moussa Sissoko actually put a shot on target in that game. I don't know if you guys saw that, and it somehow got stopped. You know, he actually put one on target. So if Eriksen or he, you know, converted on that in the first half, we're level at one. But
Well, that double save, absolutely.
I mean,
that was godly.
I was so upset by that.
That was, that was
Sissoko, actually, he actually put it on frame. And if you've watched him, I love Sissoko this year. Like, he put so much effort back. I mean, he tracked back and single-handedly stopped a scoring opportunity at some point in this match. But the man cannot finish, and he put that perfectly on frame, and, you know, got stopped.
The rest is history.
I have no idea how he did it.
Like, I don't think anyone does.
He was quoted post-match as saying that he never saw it.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and move on to our next game, which is, of course, a round of fact or fiction. So here's how it works. Very similar to Rumour Mill, in that I'm going to give each of you guys a stat from any North London derby, and all you've got to do is tell me if you think it's true or false, fact or fiction. So 2 points for a correct guess, and Boyce, you're up first with this one. No fixture in Premier League history has seen more goals from penalties than the 18 between these two clubs.
Fiction. Cool.
It is actually fact, bud. It's true. Would you believe it? Yeah. That's quite a stat, I must say. When I found it, I was like, that's somewhat impressive.
Were they all by Harry Kane?
None of them were.
We know they weren't by Aubameyang. So.
That was rough, but deserved.
It's funny. 10 of them are probably Adebayor.
Oh, God. Both sides, man.
Oh, I love it. All right, Will, this next one's for you. The latest North London derby result ends Spurs' run of 28 Premier League games without a draw, which is the third longest run ever from the start of a top flight season.
I think that's fiction. I think it is actually the longest run.
It is also fact. Believe it or not, the
what?
Third longest,
wow.
Not the first. I couldn't figure out who had the first. So by all means, figure it out. Someone tell me. Write it in, whatever it is. But I thought that was a hell of a run that Spurs had there.
Wow.
28. But apparently there's been longer anyway. Kevin, this next one is for you, bud. Aaron Ramsey has been directly involved in 3 of Arsenal's last 4 consecutive goals against Spurs. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to go with fiction because he's always hurt.
That is also fact, man.
Get out of here, man.
What?
Oh, fuck it.
I thought, like, I had the odds going for me. It was like fact. I'm like, I have to go fiction here. Yeah, it's like, you can't always...
Oh, I'm a tricky one. But apparently it is true. Yeah, again, another somewhat surprising stat that I came across. But Aaron Ramsey, boy, he's going to be missed, isn't he? Anyway, we'll see. Jared, this last one is for you.
Fiction.
I mean, now he's stuck with it.
Oh, no. Well, let me read it.
Oh, good grief, boys. Put your chalkboard down, nerd. All right, go ahead, James.
The last 1-1 draw between these two sides happened back in 2011. Is that fact or fiction?
Yeah, we'll stick with it. Fiction.
It is fiction. Nice work.
All right.
I was at 3 of the 1-1 draws post 2011.
I was going to say, there's actually been quite a few of them. But had you thinking there, Jared, didn't I? Had you thinking?
Well, you know, I got Boyce in his chalkboard to think about. It's hard.
Let's go go ahead and move on to our last game. We're going to play another round of our classic closer player profile. So for those who aren't familiar, I'm going to provide five different clues to a current Premier League player, each clue easier than the last. First person to shout their name and correctly guess said player wins the 2 points, but you only get one guess, as an incorrect shot will freeze you out. This week there'll be six players. Three are Gunners and three are Spurs players. Sounds kind of simple, right? Guys, are we all ready to go?
Now, James, we are doing individuals, correct? We're not doing teams.
So this is probably something I should have clarified before we recorded. You're working as a team, but ultimately individuals. So you shout your own name, but your score is either going towards Team Arsenal or Team Spurs. So that's kind of what I'm going
there. We go. All right. There it is. All right, Will, let's go.
All right, player number one. Where's the number 11 shirt? Is from a South American country.
Kevin.
Will.
I heard Kevin first. So, Kevin, what do we think?
Torreira.
It is Lucas Torreira. Nicely done, Kevin.
Come on, you Gunners.
It was tricky because I will say that you could be thinking Eric Lamella up to this point. But
you picked right.
Yeah. The other clues were came on as a sub over the weekend. Still thinking Lamella. Is from Uruguay. That's right. Kind of forks. And received a red card over the weekend. Lucas Torreira. Nice work, Kevin. All right. Player number two. Has yet to score a goal for his club. A French international.
Will.
Yes, Will. You've done a voice.
Will thought there sounded like me.
Oh, French international.
Oh no, that clue got him. Shit. 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, and time's up. You are frozen out. I'm sorry about that, bud. But the other three are still in play. Joined his club this season. Plays as a midfielder. First name is Matteo.
Boyce.
Yes, Boyce.
Guendouzi.
There it is. Nice work. Yes, Matteo Guendouzi. Sideshow Bob. What a guy. Good player. player number three has scored 11 goals currently this season.
Boyce.
Yes, Boyce.
Lacazette.
It is not Lacazette. No. Good try, though. Right. Good guess. But that does freeze
you. All right, Kevin. It's on you.
Okay. Leave the team. Other clues. Joined his club in 2015. Used to play for Bayern Leverkusen.
Jared.
Will.
Yes, Jared.
Hongmin Son.
Hongmin Son. Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Fuck me. I'm so sorry, boys.
I mean, I wasn't going to get that anyway. I was just...
Oh, man. Yes, the other two clues were was subbed off in the weekend's game. A South Korean international. Nice work, Jared. Player number four is a Frenchman. Joined his club in 2016.
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
Lacazette.
It is not Lacazette. We were guessing Lacazette here. No, but unfortunately not, so that does freeze you out. The other clues.
Jared.
Oh, yes, Jared.
Just to rub it in, Moussa Sissoko.
It is Moussa Sissoko. Nice work. Rubbing it in indeed. Yes, that'll get you those 2 points. Has only scored once in his 79 club appearances, which I thought was crazy.
That's who I was thinking on that one, mine, and I realized he has actually scored a goal for us.
used to play for Newcastle, and his first name is Moussa Sissoko. Player number five, joined his club in 2017. Used to play for Lyon.
Boyce.
Yes, Boyce.
Now it's Lacazette.
Now it is Lacazette.
That's what I'm talking about, Boyce. That's what I'm talking about.
Virtual high fives all around. Nice.
It's only got to work once, right, bud?
All right.
The other clues were, has scored 12 goals this season, is a Frenchman, first name is Alexander Lacazette. All right, guys, the score is pretty close. I won't say what it is, but it's close. I'll just put it out there. The last player of the game has played for his club since 2013.
Boyce.
Yes, Boyce.
Christian Eriksen.
Is incorrect. No, that'll freeze you out. Kevin's got to leave the charge on this one. Is an attacking midfielder. Came on as a sub in the weekend's game. Is an Argentine.
Jared.
Will.
Yes, Jared.
That is Coco Lamella.
It is Eric Coco Lamella, yes. And it'll get you those 2 points. And guys, that is the game. Would you believe it? We have a tie. Unreal.
Of course.
Unreal.
Of course.
So we have, literally, it's 10 apiece. So that's a first. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up some statistics here. It's got to be obviously North London Derby based. I'm going to have one of you from each team kind of step up to the plate here, if you will. And
pick Aubameyang.
Oh God, it's going to be one of those, isn't it? But it is going to be one person from each team is going to come forward. I'm going to pick a time that there was a North London derby, and you guys in turn have to try and guess the scoreline. Does that make sense? So it's going to be like you
5-2.
It's not going to be that one. I'll tell you that right now. So from Team Arsenal, who's going to jump in for this one?
Boys.
All right,
Boyce is in. Okay, from Team Spurs.
Well, I'm telling you, man. You got your pod's called Toss for a World, man. Come on, you're good.
He's got it. All right, Will stepping in. All right, so the fixture is going to be a fixture that was played, and no Googling, please. I will know because I have that sixth sense. A fixture that was played at the Emirates on the 1st of September 2013. Boyce, we'll start with you. What do you think the score was?
It was 1-0.
Damn, I should have made that harder.
I was there. Drew scored off of a pass.
Wow.
Goodness. Nope. All's fair. All's fair.
It's done. Game over.
I tell you, I'll have to screenshot this. I had a list of like 50 North London derbies, and here I am thinking, this one be good. Boyce was there. Of course he was.
Can't pick one from the freaking 70s. Are you kidding me?
I totally thought we were going 90s or 2000s, and James picks the first North London derby I ever attended.
Good.
My
you knew who scored two bonus points. All right. I'm sorry, Will. I thought I was going to make that more interesting, but clearly didn't. But congratulations, Team Arsenal. You do officially come away with the win this time around. How are you guys feeling, boys?
Better than I did on Saturday morning.
All right. Nice. I'll take that. Kevin?
Yeah, I'll be sending you the Venmo. What's your Venmo again for that last question? James Rose. Okay. No, I feel great. Yeah, it feels great to be a winner again. So, no, it's good.
Love it. Payable for $500, please. That'd be great. Guys, unfortunate, obviously, not to win the quiz this time around. But you did bulldoze it last time, so take that for what it is. Jared, how are we feeling, bud?
I do need to give a shout-out to, to you, James, and fellow Spurs admin, Corey Gregory. We do a home and home watch for the Derby here in Kansas City, and Casey Gunners hosted us obviously at their bar in the fall, and we hosted. It was also the 1 year anniversary of our home bar and brewery. I'm told it was an absolute rousing success because I had to be out of town, and you, James, and Corey took the lead on it and threw a hell of a party. And well done, guys. Well done all.
I appreciate it. I must say it was an awesome turnout, even for 6:30 in the morning local time. Obviously, it was great fun. I think the fact that just both sets of fans coming together, enjoying the sport for what it is and having chants and sing songs and all that, I think that's what made it one hell of a watch party. Just, you know, everyone collectively enjoying it. It was a great time, really was.
Thanks to both of you guys and Corey for arranging it. It was a good time. Our home and homes are always fun. If anybody that's out there is listening in the Kansas City area or will be around, should definitely attend them. I will say it's strange days, absolutely fantastic, great pub to be at. It's weird to not be paying $7 for 32 ounces of beer, though. So you go on, Johnny's.
You love it. Wilbert, how you feeling?
You know, I'm okay. It's funny you guys bring up that anniversary. The Ghana Spurs actually had their one-year anniversary this weekend, and the Little Rock, Arkansas Spurs actually just officially became a supporters club this weekend, so you guys actually share that with them.
Nice.
And also, from another Spurs perspective, Heung-min Son won the London Footballer of the Year award, Pochettino won Manager of the Year, and after winning that, he actually said, "I finally got my hands on a trophy. That feels pretty great." I thought that was great. And women's player Rihanna Dean finished in the top four for London Women's FA Player of the Year. So that's pretty cool. This is her first year at the club, and she came from Arsenal. So thanks for that, guys.
Love it. Love it. And go ahead and tell us as well, Will, how we can reach out to your media stuff, your blogs, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, if you guys want to check out my site, it's TottenhamHotspurWorld.com. You guys can find me on Twitter @WorldHotspur. And Yeah, that's me.
Good deal. Kevin, you as well, bud? How can we listen to the Lads podcast?
Yeah, just follow us on iTunes, Spotify, all sorts of stuff. Loud Americans Discussing Soccer. We also have social media like Twitter, at Lads Podcast, Loud Americans on Facebook, and at Lads on Instagram. So yeah, thanks again for having me.
Thanks for coming on again. This was an absolute blast, guys. This is going to be one for the memory bank for sure. But that is all we have time for today. So big thanks to my guests, Thierry Basmente, Boyce Richardson, Kevin Patet and Will Brevard. Thanks so much again, guys, for coming on. Don't forget to check out our own stuff, our own Twitter page at Kick Corner Flag, as well as our Facebook page and website kickflag.com. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.